Welcome to The Versatile Writer. A version of this show will also appear on BigEarRadio.com under the Writer's Block banner. First of all, let's do things right. Happy 2020 to you all. Let's hope this is a decade that works in our favour in whatever we want to do with it. I've talked before about my editing endeavours, and they're all different in different ways. This one is about an intensive editing session I carried out over Christmas 2019. One reason for doing this was for enjoyment, because the creativity of fiction makes me happy. For the past 6 years, I've been focusing on the academic side of literature with a degree course, and at times it's been very dry, and that makes me sad, and writing fiction makes me happy, so I decided to do that. It's worth mentioning here that the story I edited, I'm going to unpick and unpack a tiny bit today. I'm keeping this in mind, as it's an unpublished story, so I'm laying myself bare a little. Should you have any feedback, you can let me know by emailing sarah@loveofbooks.co.uk. Let me set the scene for you. Early December 2019, it was a dreary day. I decided to go through my laptop's archive files. What was worth keeping, what was taking up space and needed to go, that kind of thing. I had a look in a really old story file, one that I'd named in capital letters, Novels. Inside this folder was maybe 20 novels that had been written from around 2000, some before that. Most of them were either completed or almost completed, and those that were almost completed had notes with them to aid that completion. I always knew that at some point in my life I'd go back to these stories and finish them. I knew that a work in progress meant exactly that. No matter when, you'd go back and complete it. Some people consider a work in progress to be something that is live for maybe a year or two. Anything longer is just an unfinished novel, but to my mind, unfinished doesn't mean forgotten or dismissed, it's simply waiting to be finished. The time aspect doesn't really matter, completing the story does matter. The time aspect only comes into the picture to show yourself and others and the characters that you kept your promise and you came back to it. So back to these works in progress. One of them was an 85,000 word story that, once I had reread it, was actually two novels in one. The novel itself and its sequel. The work in progress was entitled A Song in My Head. It's about a bored young housewife who, upon meeting her outrageous next door neighbour, is encouraged to go out for the evening. During the evening, she meets a singer from Texas and they embark on a steamy love affair. There's a few twists along the way too. It's actually set in London. My characters are Jennifer Drake, Troy Connor, David Drake, Antoinette Ashcroft, also known as Tony, and Michael Jennington. I tend to feel that this kind of story, no more than six characters are needed. In this one, there's five. You get the odd minor person being mentioned along the way. I have about four or five of those in total. But the moment they pass on useful information to progress the story, we never hear from them again, so it's no need to give them backstories or spend time on them. The main characters each have a backstory, each have their individual motivations, and each have a life that intertwines with the main character of Jennifer Drake. There was plenty of problems with the writing, so after reading it, I allowed myself about a week to process the story and the characters inside my head. Your subconscious is a great tool for this. It picks apart things while you carry on with your life. It's an excellent writing tool. One of those things I did was take myself back to who I was 20 years ago when it was first written. There are several themes running through this story, including attitudes to sex, age gaps, and it touches on mental health too. I was 32 when I first had the idea for A Song in My Head, and I was very much into the music of Chris Isaak. It was more soft rock than country, although I'm into country too. And the themes I was drawn to were either upbeat or sad. Both these themes seemed to have been fed into the story. Also, Chris Isaak's look was fed into the male character, but nothing more than that. I think I just needed a look to play with. I didn't know at the time who the female character was, but she's brunette and has green eyes, so that probably was partly based on me. I've known in all my years of fiction writing that I apply the look of a celebrity into a character, not just anyone, they have to fit the character and their motivations. For this specific character, after a week or so of processing the story, an actor did come to mind. No names here though, because that facilitates two things: judging me and influencing the story for you, and neither of those ends up well, quite frankly. In that time, I read each chapter to see what I was trying to say 20 years ago. Some chapters didn't progress the story at all, some were vague, some contained only dialogue, some didn't contain any dialogue at all, Others were just my character pottering around her house looking for things to do. So a lot of that definitely had to go. Once I'd figured out what the main character's attitude was to life, marriage, sex, and the future, I was able to give her more powerful things to think, say, and do. We learn about her state of mind from the very first line. She says, "I wish I was dead." This gives us a massive insight into how she's feeling within the context of her life. I'd made a note on the document in red to consider if this was too bleak an opening and would the reader read on, so it was clear to me even then I was writing with a view to others reading it. And remember, mental health wasn't openly talked about until about 10 years ago, but letting readers of today know her fragile state of mind would give context to her motivations. We meet her husband within the first half page, and I can quite understand why she'd want that affair, to be honest. Anyway, the story looks at themes of age gaps, attitudes to sex and morals, and touches on mental health, and it also incorporates some interesting dialogue between Jennifer's Englishness and Troy's Texanness, if those are even words. I played music in the background while I typed in this case because it was mostly from albums from Chris Isaak that the story relates. It also equips me with the thought process of 20 years ago. Specific tracks make sense to specific chapters, so hearing these songs helped me get into the mood really well. My male lead, Troy, as I've said earlier, has the face of a well-known actor. Over the festivities, I watched several of their movies so I could watch the way he moves, the way he speaks, the way he laughs, that kind of thing. The actor actually isn't from Texas, but in order to hear a voice inside your head, you need to study how they look and sound. I was listening for ways he'd behave in any given situation. He's a very creative guy, the character, not the actor. He is too, probably. He sings in very different ways. He sings different songs, he writes different songs. He's shy one-on-one, but confident on the stage. And all this needs to be shown in the story to make it believable. Regarding the fact that he is a songwriter, I've included a scene that enables him to explain how his process works. This scene is also relevant to the plot, so progresses the story. And I think one of the best scenes moves on from that. We find when we read the first erotic moment. It's not hugely steamy, but it does give a clue on where each of these characters are coming from and what influences they've experienced. It is a bit wow, but it's also believable and raises some questions that get answered later on. Throughout this editing session, I tried to focus hard on how Troy would react to how Jennifer behaves and how Jennifer reacts to how Troy behaves. They're quite different characters, the pair of them, and their differences do show. Add to that Jennifer's husband, David. He's quite an absent character, in as much as even when he's there, his mind is elsewhere, which in turn makes Jennifer feel unwanted and very much unloved. In stark contrast, next door neighbour Antoinette Ashcroft, or Tony, and her partner Michael are colourful and vibrant characters. I really like this contrast. It's like as soon as Jennifer sets foot inside Tony's house, she becomes interesting and excited and excitable. At home, she's none of those things. Editing took on a different style with these characters, with Tony and Michael. With Tony and Michael, there was instant vibrancy through their actions and dialogue. With Jennifer and David, it was much less so. I added some metaphors too with Jennifer, as each time she headed away from Troy or went home, the weather turned bleak. There was also a couple of metaphors utilized with Jennifer feeding the birds in her garden and having them fly away, showing the contrast to her being unable to fly away and feeling quite trapped. Things like that show the reader how the character is feeling. Of course, some people would just literally read a character as feeding birds. Let's cover backstories. They're interesting because they help the reader and writer understand why the character behaves the way they do. They're interesting and require some gentle handling, or the backstory can become too much like it's happening now. I did try hard to feel sorry for David, but he didn't get any sympathy from me much in the end, to be honest. Sometimes you have to write a character like that so A, they can enable a main character to be justified in their emotion, in their motivations, and B, like people like him really do exist. He does have a character arc, though. One thing I will have to research more is Troy's homeland. I've looked at several places he might be from, but they need to be a bit more specific, and it's something I'll look at when I revisit the story again. Tony's backstory is laid bare, and this is necessary to show how Jennifer is in such good hands. Jennifer is less on show, however, but she's still young, and in a way she's sort of still living her backstory, but not at the same time. and Michael is the only main character whose backstory might raise questions. Again, this will be something I can revisit later on. Back to Toni though, she is an older lady, over twice Jennifer's age, and originally, when I wrote this, I was in my early 30s, and I might have imagined, rather naively, that ladies in their 50s were finished with this sexual aspect of their lives. I know, I'm sorry. However, this is not to be true, because I am actually in my 50s, and I know that's not true at all. So I made her this time a lot older, and therefore created some societal issues shown in attitudes from others, like how dare an older lady be interested in sex. Within this editing session, I stepped out of my own life and headed straight into the characters so I could be a fly on the wall and watch how they lived. I had several tools within my toolbox to use when I edited, and these tools are techniques and features I've learned over the years, and I can apply them now, knowing full well what they do to a story and how you can improve a story. I reduced this overwritten novel into a skeletal novella, cutting out unnecessary action, description and dialogue, because let's face it, I know more now than I did back then regarding storytelling, plot, theme, genre, characterisation, symbolism and generally everything else needed to create an entertaining read. So there you have it, the intense editing of a work in progress. Of course the story remains a work in progress, but now it has less to be done to it when I do revisit it. I suspect this will take another 2 drafts, but I'm pretty happy with its progress at the moment. The hope was that A Song in My Head will be ready to revisit sometime this year, maybe towards next year. And what I love more about it than anything else is knowing in my soul that if I put my mind to it and have the support of my family, I can edit an entire novel within a week. I did the same in August, late last year, and with another story entitled Living and Loving in Texas. Yeah, you picked up on that too. I think I have a thing for Texans. Anyway, in the meantime, I have to get back on with my uni studies, but the intense editing session over Christmas and New Year meant I can go back to studying knowing I've had a great time in the holidays and I can begin feeling creatively nourished. Thanks for listening to The Versatile Writer.